Pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, good October 31st. Is this real Halloween today? Is it today? Was it yesterday? I kind of get confused. It's all Halloween, Hallow Eve. Has to do with All Saints Day. It's a demonic, as always, it's a demonic capture of what was at one time a religious holiday, All Saints Eve or whatever that thing, All Saints Day. Just like Christmas has become and Easter has become and everything has become that. But today is, I think, somebody help me out. I think this is Satan's high holy day, isn't it?
It's Halloween.
It's Halloween. I mean, and listen, I'm going to tell you right now. Here's what you ought to do. You ought to email somebody and say, you better turn into Coach, because I'm going someplace today that fools rush in where angels fear to tread. I'm going there today, all right? I'm telling you. I'm going to give you fair warning. Some of you who don't have the spiritual belly to take it and are going to laugh, will you do me a favor? You tune out right now. You just tune out right now. Because if you want to stay in the, if you want to stay in the valley, the low level of Christianity, then you turn out right now. Jesus loves me, this I know. If that's as far as you want to go, then go. I'm giving you fair warning, okay? If I promise you, when this show's over, you're going to be challenged and you're going to say, oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. That's my prayer. You know why I know? I'm looking at all the names in there. You know why I know that's going to happen? Because I just got a Holy Spirit download. I was sitting up there. Michelle came down about 6:20. I'd been up an hour or so, and been praying and reading and doing my studies. She came down about 6:20. She would attest to this if I could get her on right now. She says, "What's the matter?" I said, "Man, I don't know. I don't know where I'm going. I don't know where I'm going." And boom, it came. So this is going to be from the Lord. It ain't going to be what you expect, tell you. So let's get moving to this because I'm excited about it. Couple things. Number one, Bethlehem, PA. Bethlehem, PA. I'm going to be out there. We are doing a flag in the ground at the Hellerton American Legion Hall on Saturday, 9 until 3. We don't know if it'll go from 9 until 3. We're going to provide pizza for you. All we would like to do is, if you're going to come, there's a contact number on there. Let Tanya know that you're coming. Tanya, I'm going to give you a call later on today. I'm traveling, but I'm going to mix in a call with you today. We'll talk about some of these things a little bit. And it's going to be, just come and join us. All right. Just come and join us. And even maybe you haven't even made plans to do it. Maybe you're sitting in Harrisburg, PA, or maybe you're sitting somewhere in New Jersey, man. And you're only 4 hours or so. Come on, get there and come because it's at these regional huddles that we get to know each other and we really build groups out of it. Very, very important. I'm flying this morning. As soon as I get done here, I'm heading to the airport. I'm going to Montezuma, Iowa for a regional event out there. It's the third one we've had now in Iowa in the last month. People are awake. We've got to gather people. We've got to do this. And as Kurt's going to come on here in a minute, he's going to talk about meet at the polls. Folks, this is not happening in our churches. Our churches and our church leadership is almost, is worthless a word I could use? They're almost worthless in the real issues of the day. Oh, they might be good about preaching about, you know, your best life now and making you feel better. And they may be good about all that stuff. But the stuff that's going on around us, the scripture says that, well, I get ahead of myself. We better begin to forsake not the assembling of ourselves together even more as the day approaches. So I appreciate the fact. I think Mark Trump's going to be there. I think Bobby Lee's going to come down and be part of it. We're going to have some salt and light guys there. I appreciate you guys coming down there, and it's important. Okay. Now I'm not complaining. Please don't think I'm complaining. I had this conversation with Chad yesterday. I've never been busier, and I'm happy and honored to be able to do it. Folks, we need to actively get people involved. We have to start doing it. We got to come out of our comfort zone. Bobby Lee, I just mentioned it. You're coming down to Hellertown this weekend. So, praise. I'll see you down there. This is so.
I'll be there, Coach.
All right, buddy. Critical time. I can use you because you know this. Just whatever it is, right? As Dale says, the church must leave the playground of Christianity and a battleground. Lord, that's it. Okay. So, secondly, then I got Kurt Knock on here with us. Meet you at the polls, and let him give us a little bit of an update of what's going on here. And you know, we've 3 weeks now. We've been at our flagpole. This will be the fourth week, and then we kick into the election. And Kurt, if you're in there, brother, just come on in here and give us a little bit of an update. What's going on? Hang on a second, folks. You still have time right now to email somebody and say tune into Coach. Tune in to Coach. Send them a link. If somebody has a strong stomach, strong Christian stomach, go ahead and now today'd be the day. You got a soft Christian stomach. You're stuck in a box. Now, if you're stuck in a box and you're hiding inside that box, tune out. It'll be good for you. Come on in, Kurt.
Morning, Coach. How you doing?
Awesome, brother. Awesome. Hey, Kurt, I just want to salute you, man, for the effort and time and energy that you've put into this thing. Because as a guy who actively tries to get the church involved, I know the frustrations and the head knocking you run into as these things go on. So, brother, you've been
no kidding. But I tell you what, I look over here on the right side of my screen at the list of people who are joined with us right now.
Yes, sir.
And it's like a who's who of meet you at the poll captains.
Amen, brother. It is.
I tell you what, buddy, I got to really hand it to you and your team. We're talking committed people.
Yes, sir.
Who have the vision, show up. What a joy and a privilege and an honor it's been for me to be able to partner with you guys.
This is welcome to the team, man. Welcome to the team, right?
Absolutely.
Somebody calls a plane, we try to run it, Kurt. That's the way we are here.
Well, I thank you for your vision to see that that was a play that was worth calling.
It was.
Running. So, like you said, we've had our third meeting now. We've had probably somewhere between 40 and 50 meetings. I still get people who will send me an email saying, hey, I've been meeting such and such a place, and I didn't even know about it because they hadn't told me up at this point. So, but I can say that a good number of those meetings have come out of your ministry and JR and some others that who have stepped up to the plate. But you're absolutely right, as you told me when we first started this. If you're looking for the churches and the pastors, keep looking.
Yep.
We've had a few that have come forward and have joined and have been very supportive, but so few. And we've literally I've plastered the North Houston area with flyers and handed them out specifically to pastors and having conversations about what's going on. And you know, some of them are just they'll just shove you on, and some of them will listen and be interested, but you never hear anything.
No, it's called NIH, not invented here. If it's not their idea, they're not. They don't play well with others.
Exactly. So anyway, what we want to do is finish strong, right?
Yes, sir.
No man who puts his hand to the plow and then looks back is worthy of the kingdom of heaven.
Amen, brother. Amen.
And I am preaching to the choir here because I know that you guys are going to be there. But I think pretty much anybody who's been doing this is going to be there, at least the ones who have led off. And there have been several people who have been by themselves at the poll. But let me tell you something. I've been doing a study in the Old Testament. When God wants to do a work, especially when it involves his people as a group, what do those Jews do? They come to Jerusalem collectively seeking the Lord, or wherever God is meeting, at the tabernacle, the tent of meeting, you know, whatever. But the nation comes together publicly, corporately, joining together in prayer and repentance to the Father.
Amen.
And that's what this is all about. And Dave, I don't see it. This is I think this has just kind of been a trial run. Not that it hadn't been important, not that we haven't done kingdom work here, but I'm looking ahead to 2020. I expect that we're going to do the same thing then, and we're going to have a little bit more notice this time.
Amen.
And maybe other times, if the Holy Spirit leads in a time of national crisis or something like that, then, you know, it'll be a time to call out the troops.
You know, it's been amazing, Kurt, because, I run into pastors, and that's not true. But when you hear about pastors or speak with pastors or speak with people, they all talk about the importance of prayer. You know, what could be easier than gathering at your flagpole and praying? But see, it's that division, right? That division, Republican, Democrat, candidates, don't get involved in politics. It's craziness, Kurt. It's just crazy.
Well, you know, the other thing is that the whole idea of prayer, people think, well, Jesus said, you know, get together in your prayer closet. Well, yeah, when it's you and God, that's true. But there are times when God wants his people to be seen worshiping and praying him in a public setting.
Yes, sir.
When we meet in our churches, there's nothing wrong with that. And we can't do it's not that we can't do kingdom work there. But this is a different kind of a dynamic. We're talking about a nationwide repentance and move towards revival. That's got to be a public thing.
Amen. Amen.
So anyway,
We got to come out of hiding.
Exactly. Exactly.
We're the light of the world, not the light of the church. Light of the world.
Exactly.
Come out of the church.
I would ask you and your listeners, if you've never done it before, to read the books of 1st and 2nd Maccabees. That's in the Catholic Bible.
Oh, you're going to get me going here. Go ahead.
It's not authoritative, God-inspired scripture like the rest, but it's good material. It's not necessarily inerrant,
mm-hmm.
but the historic material, the historical material in the books of 1st and 2nd Maccabees, which bridges the Old Testament and the New Testament, right? Well, I'll tell you what, I can't hardly read it without crying, because you're reading the stories of men and women who absolutely gave everything to their Father in heaven on behalf of their people. It is some of the most inspirational reading you're ever going to do.
Hey, certainly not the evangelicalism we see today.
Oh, yeah. Kurt, not at all. Not at all.
Historical fact here. The book of the Maccabees was actually in the 1611 King James translation.
Larry, don't get me gone. You guys are taking me where I'm going. Go ahead, Larry. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Taken out later. It was there in the 1611.
As was the book of Enoch. As was the book of the giants. As was the book of what's the other? It slips my mind. It'll come to you.
Ecclesiasticus.
Yeah. Well, I'm just, you know, listen, folks. Hang on a minute, Kurt. Folks, listen. Evil men have crept in unawares. The Bible tells us. Evil men have crept in unawares. And I hate to tell you that the Bible tells us that there's nothing hidden will not be revealed. We are in an unveiling and a revealing of truth, I believe, like we've never seen. Now, let me explain to you why. The internet. I was thinking yesterday. I was watching Chad Estes now is doing videos. Lexi's doing videos. Larry's doing videos. Do you understand how many people are citizen journalists, citizen evangelists through the internet that would have never had a platform to be able to do it before? If you ever wanted to get your message out before Channel 4, Channel 6, Channel 10, that was it. Well, now we got all the cable stations and still fighting that same battle, the battle of distributing the information. But see, I'm like a rabid dog sometimes. I love to go down those bunny trails, Kurt, because I think there's truth down those bunny trails.
Yeah.
By the way, I believe there's some things down those bunny trails. When you get to the end of the bunny trail, I said, that was a wild goose chase. But I found a lot of things by running down those bunny trails that make my faith make a lot more sense to me. And we are in an information war, as Alex Jones would say. It's an info war. And I'm telling you, because of the internet, more and more and more is being revealed to us that we're being able to see that we never saw before, when it was just you and your church with your pastor, which is where most people are. The unveiling of truth is, brother, it's happening fast.
Right.
So that's the battle we're fighting. Take us from here, Kurt. So we're still doing it on Sunday, finishing strong on Sunday.
Yes, we are. After Sunday, and as far as Sunday is concerned, I'm encouraging people to do this. We're going to do this at our meeting. We're going to have the Lord's Supper afterwards. We haven't done that in any meeting up to this point, but I just think that that's a very important thing, because this is all being done for Christ. It's being done for our country, but ultimately it's being done for Christ. Mm-hmm. And we need to focus on who we are, why we're there, who this is all about. And we all understand that. But the body, the sacrament of communion has been given to us as an opportunity to come together in fellowship in that way. So that's what we're going to do. Beyond that, of course, let's meet you at the polls, right?
That's right.
I've already voted. I'm sure probably a lot of you guys already have as well. You don't want to take the risk that, you're going to have a car accident on Monday and can't get to the polls or something. Mm-hmm. So I've gotten that taken care of. But that's what we got to do. Got to get out there and make that difference politically. Again, preaching to the choir. So, but the other thing is, to just continue, even after the election, we got to continue to pray for our existing leaders, the new leaders who are going to be sworn in January, and we got to lift these people up on a regular basis. And one thing that I found out in putting this whole thing together over the last few weeks is there is a whole lot more praying going on out there than I was aware of.
Yeah,
there are some amazing websites and initiatives that just blow me away. How many people are out there really carrying this load? And one that I found, Intercessors for America, IFA. I don't know if you're familiar with that, but they've got a really slick website. You can go on there. There's an interactive map of the United States. You can search on prayer groups in your area that you can join physically or over the telephone. You can sign up to be a prayer captain, and where people can contact you to do some mobilization. There's just a lot of resources on that site. So it's just a good tool. We're just going to continue this process moving forward.
Anybody have a question or a comment for Kurt here before we move on here? It's important to finish, guys. Finish it. Jesus said it is finished.
What part of Texas do you live in, Kurt?
I'm just north of Houston in Spring, Texas.
Well, thank you, Kurt, by the way.
Yeah, you've been a faithful guy, Kurt. I know it hasn't come without some personal sacrifice for you. You had a trip planned to Israel and different things like that you canceled along the way. And, brother, it is never wasted effort when you stick your hand to the plow for the Lord. So I salute you for the vision, first of all, and your faithfulness to continue with it. Kurt, remember this. God doesn't count voices. He weighs them.
Hmm.
You understand?
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes two guys at a flagpole can be more powerful than 50 people around there, right?
And absolutely. Absolutely.
So let's not measure it by attendance, which is what we have a tendency to do.
Perchance, yeah. Kurt, are you planning on being at the Planned Parenthood thing on November the 10th in Austin?
No, I don't know anything about that.
Okay. I'm going to be headed on the evening of the 10th, late afternoon evening. I will be swinging right by Spring.
Oh, really?
In the chat here, if you give me your number or give me a call, maybe we can stop and have a dinner meal or something on my way.
Oh, man, that would be great. Hey, if you will just go on the govpray.com website, you got my phone number and email right there.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, just get in touch with me. Yeah, guys, thank you so much. Thank you, Dave. You're a great partner.
We'll stay connected here, brother. We're in this thing for the long haul. We're about getting players, and we're about putting players on the field. That's what we're all about here, brother. And listen, the bandwagon will build, man. The bandwagon's going to build. So we just have to be faithful. Somebody's got to be the first guy on the beach. We're the SWAT team. That's what we do. So
hey, and God bless you and your stormtroopers too.
Yeah, we got them, baby. We got them.
That is awesome. I know what it's like. I've done a lot of hurricane remediation right here in Houston. So
yeah. So yeah.
God bless you guys.
You get out. Thanks, Kurt. God bless you, man.
Bye bye.
Okay, folks. So listen, if you want to help us finish that thing up, meet you at the polls. Let's finish that thing strong. I want to just pause here for a second. I feel like somebody trying to say something? No, doesn't matter. Okay, I'm gonna dig into some stuff here today. First of all, I'm not gonna put on my tinfoil hat. I'm not gonna do it. Because you know what? It's the same thing. As soon as I learned this for myself. As soon as I put it on, people don't take it seriously. And what I'm about to give you is I'm serious as a judge. Okay? I believe it to the depth of my soul that we in the church do not understand the demonic realm. We don't understand it. And it, you know, I look across the spectrum. I just get on the internet, just get on Facebook, and just scroll down and look at the unbelievably crazy demonic things that are going on in this country. And you ask yourself, is this really just a result of a dark human heart? Is that really what it is? That this is just really unsaved people acting like fools? Well, I think that's part of it. I don't think there's any doubt that that's part of it. But boys and girls, I think it's much, much deeper than that. And I also think that it's so, coming back to Russ Dizdar here, the doc of the demonoia, coming back to the fact that we don't have any idea. Jared, go to Ephesians 6. This is where I want to start today. Ephesians 6. I'm trying to connect some dots. And I would say that as always, everything we do here at this show, take it to the Lord. You don't have to believe it. You don't have to believe it. I remember when I found out there wasn't a Santa Claus. Then it all made sense to me. I mean, I was like six. My brothers told me there wasn't a Santa Claus. And all of a sudden, even in my little six-year-old mind, I thought, oh, I wondered how he got around to all those houses. And what he did when there weren't chimneys, how did he get into people's houses when there weren't chimneys? Did he wear all those clothes when he went to Hawaii? Did he have on that big suit? All those questions that I just naturally had began to make sense. Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, I get it. But see what we've done. Lord, just guide me here, please. What we've done is we've turned the demonic realm into Halloween. We've turned the devil into a tail and pitchfork and horns. We've turned him into a cartoon character. And we can get into discuss and argue and talk about Halloween and whether Christians should celebrate Halloween, yada, 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 without really looking at the very basic truth about Halloween. Is Halloween is a celebration of death, demons, witches, the occult. Somebody say amen. Just say amen on that. That yeah, you know that is the
focus. Amen, brother.
Amen.
That is the focus. Yeah, that is.
Hey,
yeah.
Hey, I want to respond to that, Coach. Hey, okay. Let's talk about how mainstream this is. This is not just so much on the internet anymore. Out here, you know, I live out here in PA, and Vince probably knows about 770 or 790 coming out of AM radio, coming out of the city over there. That's all they give us, right, is control. But what I'm saying is, tuning on 790 after 10 a.m., it's no longer coast to coast, because they literally got, I can't think of the guy's name, but on 790, there's somebody on there pretty much every night talking about these issues. Two nights ago, he was talking about Bloodlines of the Illuminati, Fritz Sprengmeyer, and all these sorts of things. A year ago, we wouldn't have imagined that this type of talk show would be on mainstream AM New York radio, and now it
Because Bobby, they are, L.A. Marzulli called it a soft exposure.
Yeah.
That this stuff is actually going on. And what they are doing is they are now conditioning us to normalizing. See? Yeah. Hey, JR, you remember when two men having sex was something that was done only in the darkness of dark places? It would never, ever. Paul said such things that are done in evil don't even speak of in the open. And how they conditioned us and conditioned us and conditioned us to the point now where marriage is a man and a man. It's come through conditioning. My dad would have never believed it. My grandfather would have never, we would have never ever seen that day yet. Here we are, that's become accept. Now, is this just the result of a darkened heart? Is that really it? Does a man with a darkened heart, listen, I've been married 39? I think 39 years coming up here in November. I've never once had a desire to have sex with a man. Never once. Never once. And now it's being mainstream. Being mainstream. And as David Arthur could tell us, there are men that are running around doing it. Now, are the married men that are running around, are they just doing this? What? Just the heart of men? Is that dark? Your heart gets so dark that you want to, what? It's because I'm in a, Jared, did you get me to Ephesians? I think you probably did. And hey, guys, this is download from the Lord. You can receive it or not receive it. I'm just going to ask you some questions today. go to 11, I think it is, Jared. A thousand things I made. Finally, my brothers, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, let me stop just a second. If you believe that the Bible is the inerrant word of God, then it shows me right here that Paul himself identifies the devil as a real person or a real thing. Paul wouldn't be lying to us, would he? Put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, folks, if he told you to put on the full armor to stand against the wiles of the devil, why would he tell you to put on, what are the wiles of the devil? Now, we looked that up before on Webster's 1828. What wiles are just techniques, plans, schemes, weapons. Somebody help me out here. How can the wiles of the devil affect me? If the devil, Well,
I know with me, you think it's like this psychology, right? But it's real. It's not psychology. It's not just in your own head. There's an other being. There's other beings doing things to you.
Yes. Yes. And so why are you putting on this whole armor that you might be able to, and the power of his might, that you might be able to stand against the schemes and the plans of the devil, who, if I understand this right, is not a physical being. He's a spiritual being. So therefore, the spiritual world is impacting the natural world. Does anybody think this is a stretch?
Amen, Coach. No, you're not. Nope. See, that's why we require armor, because it's a multi-pronged attack.
Okay. So knowing that, then to cartoonize the devil would be a smart thing to do, wouldn't it? Santa Claus, Easter Bunny, the devil, just make them all cartoon characters. But Paul, who has written 2/3 of the New Testament, tells us, hey, boys, you better get ready, put armor on. You say, well, if there isn't a spiritual realm, then why do we need to protect ourselves from? And if the spiritual realm can't enter into the physical world, what are we protecting ourselves against? For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. He said, listen, it's not men that's your problem. It's men who are influenced and controlled by principalities and powers against the rulers of darkness. Oh, my goodness. I don't know.
Coach, to think that they have no power, you just coincide that with Mark chapter 5, talking about the Gennesaret, the demonic
Have you been reading my notes, Dale? Have you been
we're of the same spirit, brother. That guy, he was breaking chains, brother. There's powers in the demonic side, and it was a spirit that encapsulated him.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. But we wrestle not David Arthur and J.R. Harrison and Ray LeBlanc and Bobby Lee and Brian Cunningham. You are wrestling against evil spirits. We are wrestling. Now, here's what we have to understand. Those people that we are dealing with, I call on the left, the godless left. They're not godless. Their God is themselves or the God of darkness. That is their God. And they are being controlled. They're being controlled by evil spirits outside this natural realm. What? Take unto you the whole armor of God that you might be able to withstand where? In the evil day, in the natural, that you're going to be able to stand in the natural, and tells you to put on armor, helmet of salvation, breastplate of righteousness, gird your loins with truth, feet shod with the preparation, gospel, peace, yada, yada, yada. Having done all to stand, that it requires a resistance, but there is no resistance to the devil without the power of the Holy Spirit. See, we're talking about a spirit who has authority in a spiritual realm, who enters into the natural realm and indwells you and prevents you from being controlled or destroyed by these other spirits from the spiritual realm who have access into the natural realm. Is anybody picking this up with me? Golly, that they would teach this in our churches. John, go to John 14. John 14, bear with me here. I got a long way to go. Short time to get there. John 14, go to verse 15, see what we're running.
Coach?
Yeah.
You know, to just remind you that we are in a war.
We're in a war. I think
that's something that a lot of us, even myself, forget from time to time, that we're in a war.
That's right.
And when we go out and do these things, like even hurricane relief, we're in a war.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we have to have the mentality of. And the enemy's out for blood.
We have to know what we're wrestling against, don't we? Yeah. We have to know what we're warring against. So in John 14, verse 16, it says, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive." The Spirit of truth. See, there is another spirit in the world. And those of us who are Christians, we receive the Spirit of truth, whom the world, Nancy Pelosi, cannot receive. Barack Obama cannot receive it, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. So evidently, the spirit realm has the ability to enter into people.
Hey, Dave.
Yes.
I agree with you. Then here's my question. It is clear scripturally that there is a spirit realm. There is no question in my mind on any person who reads God's word that it is there. Here's my simple layman question. Why is it not taught? It is not being taught by Mr. Jeffries in Texas. It is not being taught by my pastor in Ohio. Why is it? It's not being taught at all, almost. Why is that?
Well, why is it? I think I can answer that. And the reason is because it removes the power from your pastor. Your pastor wants to be your spiritual leader, not anybody who won any competition, in my opinion.
Well, and not only that, Chad, he doesn't believe this stuff. He makes fun of it. He calls it the Dominoia. He calls it doctrines of demons. He makes fun of it. He doesn't want to teach you that. He doesn't want to teach you that your son, who went to college and was lost, is now controlled by demons. He doesn't believe that. He doesn't teach you that. He said, how can that be? He grew up in the church. We raised him. He was the sweetest little boy, and he went to college, and something happened. Yes, something came and is living inside of him, I think. And they don't get it. They don't understand it. They don't believe it. Why? Because the devil is...
Yeah, and I think they also just may just be ignorant of it. They may just, you know, one thing in my job is that, look, if you don't know, don't do anything. Don't do it. Don't take action on it if you don't know what you're doing, because you're just going to make things worse. So just leave it alone. And so let's stay away from it.
That's right. Don't poke that bear. Don't poke that demon. You know, I was reading in the paper about a young man who just overdosed. Just overdosed. You can pick up any paper, you can find that. And I said to my, I was with my daughters when we were talking about it. And I said, "Can help me out here. What would make somebody smoke crack? Some average, everyday, normal person. What would make you take your first hit off of a crack pipe? What would make you? What's that new one? What the heck? What would make you try meth? What is it? Well, I can give you a very easy answer. It's demonic. People don't have any Holy Spirit in them, but they got a lot of other spirits in them.
Coach, I can testify to all of what you're saying, brother. I was sharing this even on Sunday. I said, as bad as I got, I cried out to be delivered from doing those things. When I wasn't even saved and I was dropping acid in my eyes the night I had a bad trip, I cried out to the Lord, whom I didn't even know. And I said, "God, I said, if you let me live through this night, I'll never touch acid again." Brother, I never touched acid again. And I'm telling you, brother, I had no desire to continue in that sin. But brother, Romans chapter 6, if I could read this real quick, Romans chapter 6, and I want to interject the word sin for spirit. Romans 6:12 says, "Therefore, do not let evil spirits reign in your mortal body so that you obey its lust, and do not present your members of your body to, I say, evil spirits as instruments of unrighteousness. Mm-hmm. Present yourself unto God, those who are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness. For these evil spirits shall not be master over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace. What then? Watch this. Shall we sin because we're not under the law, but under grace? May it never be. Do you not know that when you present yourself to someone," see, that's why you can interject that with an evil spirit, "you're submitting yourself to someone as either a slave to obedience to the one you obey, either resulting into death or resulting into righteousness.
Know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey?" You know what I would do? I would take whom out of there and put what?
Yep, it's either God or the devil himself. There is no other camp.
You are a servant to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you, being that made you free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of their infirmity of the flesh. For as you've yielded your members, sir, there it is, man, servants to uncleanness and iniquity to iniquity. And so now yield your members, servants to righteousness. Okay, hang on. I got to get here. Okay.
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
Hey, real quick. You know what you're teaching this morning is just Christianity 101. I think the challenge is Christianity at large. The people in the church don't open up their Bible, so therefore they fall prey to what the man of the cloth says, right, not what the Bible says. But this is what you're talking about, is just basic Christianity 101.
That's my point. That was my point in my question. The spirit realm flows throughout the Bible. This is basic stuff that needs to be taught.
It's a spiritual book.
Guy goes to work. He loses his job. He starts thinking, "Well, maybe I wasn't a good worker," or, "Well, maybe your boss is evil. Maybe his actions are evil."
Yes, sir.
I also think, too, the advent of psychology in a lot of areas has contributed to this.
Yep.
Where it's made it kind of like a, you know.
Yeah, it's a mind thing, right?
Yeah, it's a mind thing, yeah.
The words that I say unto you, they are spirit, and their life. Hey, Tim Tuber, good to see you there, man. Thanks for getting up this morning. The words that I say unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Bear with me here, Jared. Let's go to Luke 8. Luke 8. Listen, folks, this is Christianity 101. And I had to apologize before I started even talking about it because some of you wouldn't be able to handle it. Go ahead, Jared.
With what you're talking about, you know, what is it that you do when you go to the streets? You're doing it. You're doing the spirit. You're with your body, with your mind. What are we doing when we're sitting at church on a pew, just sitting there? We're just sitting there thinking. We're just sitting there thinking, crunching the numbers, crunching the math, crunch, 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 crunch. You got to go do it.
No, most of them are just wondering when's the service going to get over so they can go to a food trough.
And it came to pass afterward that he went through this every city and village preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. Oh, I could preach right there. And he had his 12 buddies with him. And certain women, which had been healed of, what's that say? Evil spirits. And certain women, which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went 7 devils, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward, and Susanna, many others which ministered unto him of their substance. Jared, let's go down to 26. Keep going down. There it was. Go back up it. And they arrived. And they arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee. And when he went forth to the land, there met him out of the city a certain man which had devils long time. And he wore no clothes, neither abode in any house, but in the tombs. Does it sound like homeless folk to you? Does it sound like mentally ill homeless people out there? They were in the tombs. Oh my goodness, I'd preach. But when Jesus, when this man saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him with a loud voice of, "What have I done to you, Jesus? You Son of God of the Most High, stop tormenting me." For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For oftentimes it had caught him, the man. And he was kept bound with chains. They tied him up and in fetters and put him in jail. And he broke the bands and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. And Jesus asked him, saying, "Hey, dude, what is your name?" And he said, "Legion," because many devils were entered into him. And they besought him that he would not command them to go out into the deep. The devils did not want to be thrown in the deep. They wanted to remain in the land of the living to drag people into the tombs. And there was a herd of many swine feeding on the mountain, and they besought him that he would suffer them. He said, "Let us go into that pig. At least if we can go into that pig, we'll still be in this natural realm." And Jesus said, "Okay, go ahead." Then went the devils out of the man. What? Yeah, then went the devils out of the man, and they entered into those pigs. And the herd ran violently down a steep place into the lake and were choked. And when them that fed them saw what was done, they ran out of there. The churches didn't want anything to do with those demons, didn't want anything to do with demons. And they went and told everybody in the city and the country what they had just seen. Verse 36. They also which saw it told them by what means he that was possessed of the devils was healed.
Coach, I'm busting. You got to go to Mark 14. Same story. But listen to what the church's response to this man being delivered from devils. Mark 5:14.
Mark 5:14, Jared.
and get, you read down through 17.
And they that fed the swine fled. And they went in the city and told everybody about it. And they also went all around the country. They told everybody about what they'd just seen. They couldn't believe what it, and they went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus, see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion. Well, he was sitting down beside Jesus, clothed. He had come out of LGBTQRSTUV. And he was in his right mind. And the church was afraid. Because they all knew this demon. They all knew this devil, right? They all knew him. And all of a sudden, there he is, sitting with his clothes on, acting normal. And they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil. And about the pigs. And they began to pray him, get the heck out of here. That's the church's response.
And that is, that's it. They, please leave us.
Get out of here. Us. Get because out of here. Don't bring that stuff into our church.
They were indignant because Jesus had just cast the devils into their swine, into their money basket, and it crashed over a cliff. And the church looked at that and said, you have just wrecked our program and our offering. Get out of here.
Amen, amen, amen. Okay, I'm not done, but somebody's busting to say something.
Dave?
Yep.
Here's one thing I, you know, I think of men. That's where my mind goes. You know, the guy with addiction, the guy that just can't rid of sin. How he is counseled by the church or other men is, "Oh, pray, read your Bible." You know, all, very seldom is it there is an evil spirit in you.
And right.
Here is how you get the evil spirit out. You know, to go there. I'm addicted to porn, but to call, say that there's an evil, that's even worse than being addicted to porn.
That's right.
Spirit in you. You know what I'm saying?
So they say to David Arthur, get out of here. Don't come here. We don't want to hear that.
You know, when there is an evil spirit that is infiltrated this individual and their sin is tied to that. And I would think, the only way to get it out is to attack the evil spirit scripturally. There isn't any other way to get it out.
No, hey, Robert, Ephesians 6, right? We wrestle not against flesh and blood. Yeah, Jim.
Hey, I taught on this one time in church, and Dale, I was so glad Dale brought up the other part. I relate this to the two worlds that Christians or church people live in. Let's just say the blue pill and the red pill world, and the religious world is the blue pill world, and the spiritual world is the red pill world. Right. And they don't, and when they cross, okay, when those two intermingle, there is a sacrifice. There is something happens. People lose something. They get embarrassed. They lose their money because the blue pill world in church is all about money, and you know, it's all about money. And the red pill world in the church is all about getting people free from sin, getting them to repent, getting them delivered.
That's right, Jim. We need a red pill church, don't we, brother? We need a red pill. Hey, David. David, they don't want to hear your story, do they, David? They don't want to hear your story. No, they would rather that you still be out having sodomy with people. In fact, they're saying, well, he's still running around doing it. He's still sneaking around doing it. They want to deny, just like we're seeing right here. They want to deny what happened to you, and they don't want to have anything to do with it. Yes or no, David?
Absolutely. And see, Coach, what Dale brought up about the other part of that story is how all the swine left. And so they're looking at it from a monetary point of view as well. They were kind of ticked off. See, not only do they not want to deal with the spiritual, but they get kind of ticked off when their livelihood or their resources disappear. So they don't want people to be offended and walk out that door, because when they walk out the door, they usually take their pocketbooks and wallets with them.
Yes, sir. Hey, Coach,
I don't mean to bombard on this, but there's another analogy or another attachment to this. And it's at the beginning of Mark chapter 5, is that the programs of the church don't work. you read that and it says they many men had tried to bind this man. Yes. It didn't work. You have to have the Spirit of God as Christ was demonstrating. Yes. This is how you get this guy free.
Boy, let's start there, Jared. Verse Mark, verse 5, verse 1.
I think divorce care gatherings at church. Divorce. Well, it may just be that your partner is in a spiritual battle and is being possessed by spiritual entities. And that's why the marriage is falling apart.
Absolutely.
The reason she's going online and checking out her old boyfriend from high school might be something demonic is going on.
Or something demonic happened back in high school that's manifesting itself now.
But it's not
an unholy soul tie.
Dave, but my point is, I'm not saying that's always the case. It might be something worldly. It might be a stupid act by the husband. Who knows? But it is never addressed spiritually or demonically as a possibility.
That's right. It's not just your flesh. And they came over unto the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he's come out of the ship, immediately there met him one of the two out of the tombs, a man with an unclean spirit, a spirit unclean in the man who had his dwelling amongst the tombs. And no man could bind him up, laying around talking to dead people in the tomb.
Bam.
And see that, Coach? They got in there. They don't know
They tried to solve it in their own, in the power of the flesh of the arm. Oh, we're going to bind it. We're going to fix this. You can't fix that.
No, you ain't. Because that he'd often been bound with fetters and chains. And the chains had been plucked asunder by him. And the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. Oh, I could go on and on. Listen, I got to. Oh, this is so good.
This is good.
I got a question. Do they have to be a Catholic priest to cast that out? Do they have to hold the crucifix?
Well, according to Fox News, every time Fox News talks about deliverance or anything spiritual, they bring that priest in there. Yep, it's always only the priest that can do it, right?
See, what that does is that programs us that we have to have someone else to do it. We have to have someone else.
That's
We take that to the church.
We've got to be. Look, all of us can do it. You can do it. Everybody can do it. And you just have to have the Holy Spirit going through you.
You tell me this isn't the world. You tell me this isn't the world. You tell me this isn't the church. Verse 5. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, laying among dead people, crying and cutting himself with stones. In other words, stoning himself over things that had happened in the past, laying among dead people who have no idea how they got in there and have no idea how they got out. And it was Jesus, when he raised Lazarus from the dead, he said, take his grave clothes off of him, loose him, and let him go. And the church is full of people who think they're born again, and they're wrapped in death clothes, and nobody will set them free because the church won't even talk.
Do you remember, Coach, when I was telling you when I was so infested in drugs, I didn't want to be, but I couldn't get free. Nobody could get me free. It wasn't until I encountered Christ and train wrecked, brother, that I got set free. My life was this account. My life was this account in Mark 5. This man was stoning himself and crying. He wanted to get free, but man's ways won't get you free.
Keep him in the tombs, baby. They keep him in the tombs. And so Jesus said in verse 8, come out of that man, you unclean spirit. Wow. Hey, Coach. Yeah.
You know, something I've observed over the last few years is if Satan can't get a man through money, he'll get him through theology. And, you know, I think a lot of people, they cling more to their theology than they do a relationship. And, you know, think about this. You know, I know I have a great relationship with you, Coach, and many men and people in the huddle. And it's a difference between just knowing about you guys and really knowing you guys. And that's where I think a lot of people, they just cling to a theology, which is not a relationship whatsoever. And so it really takes that personal relationship to understand the things of the Spirit.
Look, George, you were talking about it, but see, look, the playbook is the same. It's always been the same all the way from the beginning, roughly through all the way till now. It's sex, money, fame, and power. That's it. Those four things is what they always come to you offering, one of those four things. And that's what people sell out for. Sex, money, fame, and power. One of those. Any one of those.
We don't realize that it's a spirit, see? We don't understand that it's a that is drawing and luring us to that. Yes.
This whole conversation.
Religious people don't want anything to do with the spiritual realm. Pastors don't want anything to do with the spiritual realm.
Religion is bondage, Jimmy. Religion is bondage. And they are happy.
Right.
They're sitting in the tombs, cutting themselves the stones, happy to be doing it.
And if we're all honest, Dave, if we're all honest, most of us, if not all of us, but most of us were that guy in chains in the Gadarenes, okay?
You know, this conversation brings to mind the conundrum that faces us here in the huddle and those listening. There is truth out there. God created it. Jesus lived it. The Holy Spirit reveals it, and we're to either receive it or reject it. Now, when you receive truth, we realize and we know and we talk about there are people sitting in those congregations calling themselves churches that think they know the truth because they've been lied to about the truth. Now, at what point is it those individuals' responsibilities to catch the lie? And at what point is it our responsibility to help them catch the lie?
Well, how can they hear without a preacher, right? Some preacher doesn't mean a guy standing in the pulpit. So somebody just telling them the truth. And it just shows where we are. That I had to preface today's show with, well, this is going to be really far out there. This is going to really be weird. When it's all throughout the scripture. It's a spiritual war manifesting in the natural realm.
Hey, Coach. Well, Dave, that's just it. Sorry, George. One thing. That's just it. See, we've got people that have been Christian 40 years, but they're still in kindergarten.
Yep.
See, you need to get on up here, expand your mind, and broaden your horizons here, and bring in some new information.
That's right.
And go out there and make application on it. Because look, you want to get their master's degree in this.
Actually, hey, Coach. Yeah, it actually ought to be elementary school. Really, go ahead, George.
Coach, I'll be honest with you, man. You had me on pins and needles, and man, I thought, wow, this is going to be really something Coach is going to share this morning. I mean, I don't know if I'm the only one, but and don't take this wrong. What you taught this morning has been great, but it's just basic Christianity 101, you know, that people need to get before we can move on.
Now, listen, I never do this. Never do. I'm going to do part two tomorrow. I didn't get to nearly anything I wanted to get to yet.
Good.
Coach didn't. Actually, can I put in a teaser, Coach?
Sure.
Okay, the teaser is this. What if everyone is suffering cognitive dissonance from having something unconscious being put forth right in front of you? And what I'm saying is television is the realm of the devil. And if I explain completely why, it might scare everybody. So I'm going to wait till tomorrow.
Hey, Ray, you mentioned Christianity 101. Jesus taught that if you build something on a weak foundation, that thing is not going to last. And I believe that applies to a Christian's walk. If your foundation for your Christian walk isn't built properly, there's some stupid pastor going to come along and he's going to build something on that weak foundation, and it's going to tear you apart eventually.
Hey, Coach, on the way home yesterday, you might call this coincidence or somebody might, but I was talking to a brother on the phone and I was casting demons out of somebody in his family and asking God to remove those spirits from his life and from his mind and his spirit and his soul. And that was happening on the way home when I was driving.
Amen, Jim. I mean, listen, I'm up against it here, folks. We're going to do this again tomorrow. It's time that, see, we got to start talking like this, right? We can't stop. We got to quit saying Hillary's dumb, Obama's dumb. No, they're not. No, they're not. They're demonically.
Amen. Yeah.
We have got to begin to call it as it is and let people understand that the war that's breaking out in front of us is a spiritual war. Tyranny and liberty. That's what, it's not about America. It's about the gospel and the going forth of truth. Tyranny and liberty are the battle that's breaking out for us, and we need to explain to people this is a spiritual war. That person is of his father, the devil, and the works of his father he will do. Part two tomorrow. God bless you. We'll see you then.